Well, good morning. A little bit late than Friday, but it's a day ending in a Y, so we're okay.
That's right. And it is supposed to be an ad hoc broadcast.
Ad hoc.
Yeah, ad and the hoc.
Oh, can you do that on public airwaves?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll find out.
Exactly. So how are things in the left coast?
Well, our atmospheric river is abating a bit today. We had a real big windstorm last night. Although they are calling for snow and they shut down the connector on the Coquihalla because of dangerous road conditions. So I guess fall has fallen and winter has reared its ugly head already.
Winter does have an ugly head. There's no question.
Well, if you don't like the snow and all that kind of stuff, yeah, it has an ugly head. But if you're kind of an outdoor skier, tobogganer, whatever, I guess they look forward to this kind of weather and being able to get out and frolic in it.
Yes, this is from someone who won't see any of that for a couple of weeks. Thank you very much.
Well, it all has to do with global warming, no
Yes,
doubt about it.
I hear you. Yes. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy your time on the beach.
No pressure.
That's a reminder to our readers, listeners, that we may have an interruption or we may have an on-site from a hidden location somewhere of Bob. We'll make that a teaser if we can do the technology on it.
Well, we certainly can.
Yeah, then we'll see how that works out. Otherwise, I'll be all by myself making up stuff.
Well, I think you did work with the federal government at one point, correct?
You go. You had to bring that up.
Well, no, I'm just thinking that I think you and I were probably one of the only few people on the whole government payroll that were cleared to highly ridiculous rumor with the ability to create rumors by Wednesday at noon if none was started. So
By the way, I just before I went on, I was reading that TSA will continue to require vaccine proof of vaccine for non-US citizens that fly into the United States. That's apparently till the effective till the 8th of January, 2023. So.
well, it'll be interesting to see what transpires in that respect. Are they looking like the airlines in Canada price themselves out so now we can drive down and not get queried about our vaccination status and then fly from the United States to others? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good question. This is part of the, I guess, the tail end of regulations that they're not sure exactly how to deal with as it winds down. I mean, you know, when you, it's the old adage, if you put a regulation or rule on the books, how do you take it off the books?
Well, yeah, most governments are, I shouldn't say most governments. My experience with most governments is that they put something up and are loathed to take it down primarily because it might make them look bad. Did we err? Did we do this right? Are we going to get criticized? And maybe not. I think a lot of it boils down to the fact that I think you were mentioning about the lawsuit in the United States where the Supreme Court ruled that this wasn't a vaccine. It was.
Now, this is John Kennedy Jr. who has taken the went to the Supreme Court over the mRNA claims that were made by the pharmaceuticals, and basically that it caused no harm, and essentially he said, "Well, you can't say that." And so it's going to be interesting to see what the fallout from that is. That just happened, a couple of days ago. Wasn't
Wow.
given much press because, you know, it's one of those one of those dry, it's a legal thing, and people don't spend a lot of time over that. Plus, the U.S. is in the middle of this midterm election, which has got everyone pretty wound up. So this kind of falls between the cracks. But you can look it up on the internet. It's a lot of deep weed stuff, but interesting because when a decision like that is made, it has implications going on later, as others. So.
It'd be one of those things I think we've talked about before. If you're in a government situation, it's not people questioning you spending billions of dollars. It's when you get down into the issues of less than a million, or perhaps less than $54 billion.
You're talking about the Arrive-Can thing in Canada. Yeah, well, that's interesting. You're right. You can con people, if you like, with huge numbers, and they really don't understand when you're talking billions. But when you're talking only millions, they seem to get a grasp of it. And I guess the Arrive-Can thing that we've talked about a number of times on our broadcast, it's going to be audited by Parliament, and the government's going to have to come up with proof on whose bright idea this was. Where did the 50 more 54 million go? I mean, they may legitimately have some evidence. I'm going to reserve judgment, but the effectiveness and the efficacy of that program is clearly questionable. So
Well, it's interesting too. Didn't it come out that one of the people that was supposedly a recipient of millions of dollars said, "We have no idea what you're talking about because we don't have any of that in our bank account"?
correct. So it's that's for and it's and I know that's a Canadian issue, but it's one that we'll not have to keep an eye on to see how that audit actually goes and what are the findings. So that's one of those nice to chew on cases.
Well, I guess coupled with that is it's what we've talked about before. Or do we have the big things like a magician where, let's look at the Ukrainian situation and have people's minds focused on that, and then we'll do other little things like spend $54 million that, it's just chump change really in the overall scheme of things,
Sort
but
of falls through the cracks, sort of thing. Yeah. Well, it's a little things that tend to screw people up, and it's not out of sort of context. And one of the other items on our agenda today was what Elon Musk and Twitter's doing. He's Twitter employees are filing lawsuits against Musk for basically telling about 50% or more of them that they're going to be laid off, and so they've they've gone on a rampage to challenge the right of the employer to send the employees lay them off. So that's very interesting because there's apparently 3,700 of them, or about 50% of the workforce, that's going to be shown the door. What's curious about this case is that the impact on the social media platform is either going to be perceptible or it's not. Those who are going to be going to the unemployment lines are if they're as good as they are, they'll find work, no question. But clearly, the messy part of this story is that when he bought the company for $44 billion, which is astronomical amounts of money, really, for most folks to comprehend, it turns out that some of the paperwork which led to the final purchase of the firm allegedly the folks who were providing the information to the people who reviewed the books, there was some things missing, like liabilities and assets and so forth. So this is not over yet. It's one thing for Musk to deal with the issues that are, front and center of the censorship and blah 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 of Twitter. Which, by the way, in our case, we've never our Twitter account's never been affected by that sort of concern because maybe we don't put anything out that's terribly contentious, but our Twitter account's never been censored. On the other hand, he's also talking about charging people $8 a month going forward to use Twitter to essentially make the company financially
Profitable.
viable.
Well, it's like a lot of things, right? I mean, you go back to the people that are going to be laid off. I guess if it was a public company, maybe there would be
It was a
concern.
public, yeah.
Now it's a private individual that owns it.
That's
So,
right.
if he decides tomorrow that he wants four employees, there's really nothing that anybody can really do about it. It's his company. The whatever he decides or chooses is probably going to be carried out. And $8 a month, well, that's kind of like the whole thing with any of the streaming services now. I see Netflix wants to go back and offer you a lower account fee, but you're going to get ads on it, which I think is kind of interesting. Most people bought a streaming service because they were tired of ads. So
Well,
will people walk away from Twitter, walk away from Netflix, Amazon, whatever it is, because it's not what they had initially thought? I don't know.
guess it comes down to, what's important in your daily life, watching these streaming services. Are you going to put up with the ads that inundate it, or it's the same. Look, can you afford to be in first class, or do you have to go economy is what it comes down to. And the front of the plane and the back of the plane get there same time, except that there are free drinks at the front of the plane and food, and in the back you're cramped in, and there's a lot of noise. So it's the same with streaming services. If you've got the dough and you can afford to not have to watch incessant numbers of commercials to sell you stuff you don't need with money you don't have, great. If you've got the money, then you pay it, and you basically are in first class. So that's really, the marketplace decides. And in the case of Twitter, I can see where the marketplace will decide. I mean, look at Facebook. It's lost 75% allegedly of its net value. And there hasn't been the kind of drama around Facebook operations as there has been around Twitter. But I understand Twitter's never made any money, and Facebook apparently now has lost three quarter of its book value. And so, wow, not that I'm worried about the Zuckerberg's fine, next meal or anything, but you got that's a huge drop in the value of
Yeah, it sure is. Although it goes back to what you're saying too, that it's the marketplace. Well, ultimately, we are the marketplace. And if we as consumers decide Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is not what we would like it to be, or it doesn't meet our expectations, we have the option of voting with our feet and leading. And, it might be a small stampede, it might be a large stampede. And ultimately, that's what's going to affect the decisions of the companies. And I think that we shall we say, our consumers, forget that we have that power. Maybe we don't exercise it enough.
Yeah, although I think, if you have a product that people want, they'll buy it. If it's one that isn't delivering for consumers, they're not going to buy it. It's just the way it is. Now, the problem with the government that way is they don't have to deal with competitive markets, they can come up with whatever rule they want, and you have to go with it. Whereas, the private sector, like this is essentially social media. If you're not providing a service that people, the large majority of people want, they're just going to walk away from it. Do you remember the company called Netscape?
Yeah.
Okay. They're gone. They were, and that's just the way it is. If you're not going to provide a service people are happy with, then down it goes down. I
Well,
mean, that's just common sense.
we could maybe extend that too to all the listeners, whatever country you're listening in, about your voting. Get out and exercise your democratic right to vote. And if you don't like something,
Speak
maybe
up.
it'll change, maybe it won't. But I guess we'll find out soon with the midterms coming up.
Yeah, the American midterms. Well, we won't say anything much about it at this point because it's really something that's up to the voters in the U.S. But next week, maybe we'll see what the impact is, particularly on the on human mobility, migration, refugee issues. Because it's clearly there are issues in front of American voters that do impact on the question of immigration and migration, border security, etc. So, with I think we can put let's just see what happens, and we'll dissect it
Later on, yeah.
after. Although there is I have an interesting report just came up on my screen. That says that the, and this takes us over to the EU, is Germany's interior minister has now been accused of falsifying asylum numbers to cover up the migrant crisis. Germany's interior minister, a woman by the name of Nancy Faeser, is being hit with serious allegations that she falsified the number of so-called refugees coming to Germany since the beginning of the year. She claimed that there are 57,000 some refugees entering the German territory, and while the federal police have registered 101,000 since January. So her figure is 40% lower than her own authorities are recording. And now there are some who are saying it's probably a whole lot more than that, because the refugee asylum people are talking about 154,557 asylum seekers. And never mind whatever spillover you have from the 7 or 8 million Ukrainians that have left. So this is interesting, where the misinformation, malinformation, disinformation coming out of the German interior ministry's minister's mouth, is causing some angst.
Well,
It's
and I
that
guess,
third rail again. Let's not talk about migration.
I guess it gets down to the point of do we actually have any unbiased reporting going on anymore? Surely to goodness, you should be able to go and go to a source and find information out that gives you the pros, gives you the cons, and lets you make your own decision. But it sure doesn't seem to be that way. You get a policy and it gets reiterated and regurgitated, and well, if you say it long enough and loud enough, it becomes the truth.
Well, and if you do get caught in a lie, then then there are certain people who will come out, as they have in this business of the pandemic, where if the lockdowns weren't very clever or didn't really work, then let's declare a pandemic amnesty. This is from a Brown University professor who thinks that, well, we should forgive everyone for what was done, because we really didn't know what we were doing. Let's let everybody off the hook here. Well, that's a tough mea culpa to swallow. What do you mean? And this was in the Atlantic magazine, which is a widely read, left of center publication, but aggressively promoting the issue of, well, we should have an amnesty on people who conned you for the last 2 years. Like, okay, how does that work? Excuse me.
Well, it gets it's an amnesty for what?
Oh, for screwing up the economy. I'm sorry.
Well,
screwing up your kids' education for
Yeah.
having thousands of people who died in various retirement homes and
And
assisted.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because of the insanity of it all. You know, can't we just all get along?
Well, you would hope so, but I guess this human nature is a great equalizer. It's really challenging to argue what you just said about can't we all get along when so many aggrieved people, and not of a lot of it might be imagined, from the so-called woke side, but there really were some terrible things that happened. I will say that yes, we weren't really prepared collectively, globally for the pandemic because it was. But on the other hand, to pursue a policy which, as it turned out, was wrong, I don't. I'm not sure retribution is good, but I certainly don't think you have to give blanket forgiveness,
No.
amnesty. Come on. Because then that just opens up the opportunity, another crisis, a global cry. Oh, well, we can screw up, but it's okay. We'll just ask for forgiveness. The world is such an information wise is so immediate and so small that, what happened a year ago is almost like it happened 1,000 years ago. And so, people forget how much pain and suffering this damn virus brought upon the world. So don't whitewash it and say, oh, well, let's all forgive and forget. You can't do that because then when the next crisis or the next pandemic,
Yeah.
we can't have the same transgressions going forward.
Well, I guess it goes back to mea culpa, great. I think that unintentional governments, I think, decided that this was really a good thing because I can rule the way I want to, and there's really not going to be any opposition because, we could bring up the fact that, well, we're just doing it in the name of the public interest or the public safety, and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And, what's the famous line? You're either with us or you're against us.
Yeah, which very much is the kind of intransigence that's currently in our sort of discussion. Like you say, you can't unite people if one of the key slogans is you're with us or against us. So you can't bring people into a common understanding if you're going to make things so binary. I mean, it's not how this it's not how we worked before. We've got to get away from that. And I'm hoping that with the sorts of discussions we're having, perhaps in other areas, people will start thinking about, okay, I'm not going to get everything I want any more than the person who I'm arguing with is going to get everything he or she wants. So we have to kind of make some compromises. Honest compromises are perfectly okay.
Well, that's really what it should be about, in my estimation. You have to give a little, you have to take a little, and it's inevitably like any argument. There's a pro side and a con side, and is it a perhaps a disinterested third party? I can look at the facts and make my own decisions, which may agree with the pro side, may agree with the con side, but it may end up somewhere in the middle, and I don't know. Maybe I'm being a little bit naive, but I think that's where most people want to be, somewhere where they're comfortable with not far left, not far right, and hopefully be able to reach that agreement.
Yeah, well, I just another one of the flybys that just came across my desk, which we hadn't planned on in our pre-production talk, is the number of unsolved murders in the United States. This is for a law enforcement community. According to the FBI Criminal Justice Information Services, they say that in 2020, a record low of only 54% of the country's homicide cases were actually cleared. So it's tantamount to getting away with murder. A case cleared is when it's solved or suspected killer's arrested and formally charged. But the drop in 2020 apparently attributed to the fact that homicides saw a 30% increase that year. And according to the FBI 2020 Uniform Crime Report, police and sheriff's departments are overwhelmed with cases.
Wow.
Meanwhile, of course, we have a lot of distrust and willingness to work with police across the board because of the various, defund the police activities that have gone on. So this is a very it's one of, again, one of those stories that's underneath the radar, not really talked about very much. It really just came across my desk now. And again, it's when you talk about the fact that there was a 30% increase in 2020 in homicides, that's saying something.
Well, I don't know. Here locally, watching the news, it's sad with homicides being that much of an increase. But how many more cases of mentally disturbed individuals are going out? We've had so many unexplained attacks where somebody's just walking down the street and they get blindsided. Does this fall in? Like, is this part and parcel of being locked up for so long that people are getting out and they don't know how to act in society again? Or I don't know.
Well, I think that's a discussion that we'd have to have with someone who has a direct sort of experience and knowledge of the psychology of criminality, particularly these spontaneous things that people get pushed on subway tracks, or you're just walking down the street and you get clocked by someone. It's almost like there's a mass psychosis going on, and it's affecting a percentage of the population who might be aggrieved or homeless or mentally unstable. I mean, a normal person does not walk down the street and punch someone in the back of the head for no particular reason. Okay, so the talk a lot on media by politicians that we have a mental illness crisis in North America, for example. Yes, one would say that you'd have to suggest that someone who hits another person for no apparent reason has got a problem. Now, yeah, a person might have a cognitive problem of some kind, but when you connect that to the change in attitude by the court system, thinking that leniency, no direct correlation between time sentencing and the crimes, and it beca I guess I'm trying to say is something's gone wrong along the way here, and we need to as just citizens, as people who aren't experts in criminology, we need to kind of get some answers as to what is driving this. I mean, we can throw in the business of defunding the police and the changes in the justice system and blah blah blah, but this is COVID connected. I don't know. Is it because of the downturn in the economy? I don't. I mean, it really is a tough one. But I tell you this: the streets of large urban centers now are becoming, especially the core, where there are tens of thousands of homeless people in some major cities living on the sidewalks. It's dangerous. It's not because they're the homeless issue is one that I think can be dealt with. If the we stopped with the preconceived notions of why people are there. It's got to be some clean water poured into the glass on this one by not only well-meaning but well grounded experts and folks who know what they're talking about. We don't, I just see too much. We don't have enough information, and we have a lot of conjecture on the issue in the press and in social media. So it's really one that's quite, for me anyway, I admit that it's intellectually challenging to come up with an answer on how to deal with that aspect of crime that's generated as a result of the things we talked about.
Yeah, it totally is it is it, you're right. Is it COVID related? Is it recession related? It would be nice to be able to have a crystal ball and look into the future and see if there's going to be any answers that come towards this. But I like you. I guess I could be walking down the street here and have an issue, and it used to be, well, gosh, you don't go to the east end of town, you don't do this. Well, that east end of town has become virtually anywhere now. You really got to keep an eye out and watch out for things. And maybe, again, my armchair psychology degree, which I think I got off the back of a matchbox, says maybe it is related to the fact that we were locked up for so long, and we've never had that happen in the course of human history that I'm aware of. And as a result, we don't have any real plan or tactic on how we can and reintegrate people back in from being basic loners.
Well, it's it really is a problem of our times, and it's not like we don't have the intellectual capacity and the means to deal with it. But what we don't seem to have is the resolve of the leadership of the most senior people to talk about this in a tangible, concrete way. There's a lot of talk that's very superficial, but not, and I think it's you see great cities like New York and London, Berlin, Vancouver, the core of these cities is rotting out and people are abandoning it. This is not this is symptomatic of something a deeper malaise that the leadership better get to grips with. So it's as global as inflation. It's as global as energy shortage. It's as global as trafficking in people. It's as global as this
Well,
is.
I guess that goes back to we've discussed it on previous episodes of trust in your government.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, the cynic in me says, I can't trust a politician. I know he's lying because his lips are moving. And until we can get away from that kind of a mindset, looking maybe not with 100% awe and respect of the person, but until you can at least believe some of what they're talking about, that they do have your interest at heart and in concern as opposed to their own. I don't know if this is gonna change much at all. They give you lip service. Yeah, we're gonna throw more money here, we're gonna throw more money there, and in reality, there isn't a lot of money to throw around.
Yeah, but just throwing
We've
money.
got negotiations, and I'm sure you, where you are, there's union negotiations going around, and oh, we need to have this, we need to have this, we need to have this. And I guess my question has always been, well, if we need that, what don't you need?
Well, the global economy is in for a tough sled. Everybody agrees with that, unless you're living under a rock and are completely, or you're so immersed in some political ideology that you refuse to accept the reality. But we're heading into a tough winter globally, and a lot of these social issues will be impacted directly. as a result of society, who will be challenged to worry about their job, worry about whether they can feed their family, whether they can keep the roof over their heads. And so what we spoke about earlier with respect to the homeless, they may get really shortchanged on this thing because no one's going to want to talk
Yeah.
about that. But
Well, I
anyhow.
guess and coupled with that, if it gets down to the point where I'm more concerned about can I put gas in my tank and food on my table, and we get people that are arriving with the migration issues that are going around the world, my empathy is maybe not where it should be.
Yeah, and that's human nature. Everything, every problem that you have is local. It's, we sit here and think about the war in Ukraine. Okay, but that's not here. It's tough for Ukrainians, but it's not tough for someone in Australia or someone in Guyana. These, particularly the people who are outside of the direct crisis. So that's human nature too. But anyway, I'm running out of time when we really don't have. We were going to talk about the Ukraine thing, but we're down to our last 2 minutes for today's broadcast. So I think we need to think about what day we'll catch up with you. In your secret location. And we'll talk about what happens on November after November the 8th. We'll do our own armchair postmortems because it's going to be either very interesting or very not interesting. We'll see. But the impact on other parts of the world will be, I think, felt depending on how it turns out.
Yeah, very true. But
Also, I'm going to have to let you go because
okay.
we're coming up to the what in real broadcasting, we're up to a hard break. But we don't have a hard break. We're running out of the free time that we the offer gives us. So
Which is okay.
we'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
Safe travels, and we'll catch you on the other side of the night.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
Take care.
You too.
See you soon.